I want to thank the worship team for leading us in a time of praise and worship again this morning as we were able to come together and come before the Father and be able to just join our voices and our presence together. What a privilege to be able to come together and worship the Lord together this morning. You know, we live in a world that is full of conflict and challenges and struggles, and it's just beautiful to be able to come together on a Sunday morning, lay that stuff aside, and hopefully you can do that. Hopefully today is a day where you'll be able to let go of all the things that are happening around you and all the things that are going on in your life, and just a place and a time where we can connect with the Father again this morning. So it's my desire this morning, as I've prayed and asked the Lord to give a message for this morning. I don't just flippantly, and none of the rest, I know that Eric and Andrew and Dave, when they think about preaching on a Sunday morning, is not just some off-the-cuff thing, but we do pray and ask that the Lord give direction in what should be shared this morning. So as you're here this morning, I want you to connect with the Father. If I blunder, if I say things that sound off and not right, connect with the Father, please. That's what I believe God wants for you this morning, as I believe that He did lay this on my heart to share with you this morning. The title of the sermon this morning is Patience in Suffering. Patience in Suffering. I had the unfortunate opportunity to spend time at the Ann Barsinger Cancer Center, and I saw the suffering, the incredible suffering that is represented there, you cannot comprehend. I have a cousin who is going through numerous types of cancer and has just spent weeks at Ann Barsinger. And over the last 10, 15, 20 years of what has been that he's been going through this. And I see the suffering and I say, God, what is the purpose? And maybe you're sitting here this morning and that's been your question to God somewhere along the line is, Lord, what is the purpose in suffering? What is the purpose? Why? So you can turn with me to James chapter 5, and I'm going to read verses 7 through 16 and just take a little look this morning at suffering and patience in suffering, the purpose in suffering. And I hope this morning that this message can be an encouragement to you if you're here this morning. And trust me, if you're here this morning, you have in the past suffered. Maybe you are suffering and you will suffer in the future. So I think everyone here this morning could give testimony to a time of suffering, whether it is physical or spiritual, or maybe it's because you took a stand for Christ. And that's one of the things that I find so intertwined in this here message this morning. You will find that I will be talking about physical suffering, and I'll also be talking about suffering for Christ, suffering because you took a stand for Christ. And so that's going to be pretty much intertwined in the message this morning. So let's read verses 7 through 16 in James chapter 5. It says, therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for his precious fruit of the earth and waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and the latter rain. And I thought when I read that, how that right now, as you drive around the roads here in Lancaster County, the cornfields they're tall and they're green, and the hay is green. The neighbor beside us there cut his hay this week and last night baled it. And there's the patient waiting after the crop is planted for it to bring forth fruit, for it to bring forth produce. And it goes on in verse 8, says, you also be patient. Establish your hearts. And this captured my attention, this establishing our hearts. We're supposed to be patient. And as we get on into this, he's talking about suffering, and we're supposed to be patient, and we're supposed to establish our hearts with it. I haven't gone past, I didn't drive past any cornfields where I saw the farmer sitting at the end of the cornfield on a chair with a cup of sweet tea, just waiting for the crop to happen. No, his heart is established. His patience is in. His patience happens while he continues to experience life, to do the work that he's called to do all the fixing fences or whatever it might be that he does between the time he plants the crop until it actually produces. He doesn't just sit there on his chair. And I believe that for all of us in this verse, it says, you also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. The coming of the Lord is at hand. And he goes on in verse 9, do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, and that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. But above all, brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. Verse 13, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone sick among you, or anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over them, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So we're looking at this here scripture in James this morning as a call there, as we see in verse 10 and 11, that my brethren, take the prophets. And he mentions Job. And we're all familiar with this, the story of Job and how that the incredible suffering. And we know the stories of the prophets, how they were beaten and killed. We know the stories of the apostles, how they were beaten and put in prison. And in the end, they were killed. And so the church, the life of the church, the life of the Christian, looking back throughout history, has been a time of suffering. There's been suffering that has been connected to the life of the Christian. And I don't believe it's any different today. I know that each of you sitting here this morning could name something that you've been in touch with that has been that you've been called to suffer. But here's the beauty. Here's the beauty of it. God has put together a fellowship. God has put together a body of believers who are able to walk with each other through a time of suffering. And I believe we're called to do that. And in order to do that, we need to get off of what we're experiencing to be able to come alongside of someone else that is walking through a time of suffering. So let me read 1 Corinthians 12, 24 to 26, and you don't need to turn there. But it says this, but our presentable parts have no need, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, that's their problem. Nope, not what it says. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. But the verse that stood out to me as I studied for this message was that, and if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. It's not even a suggestion, it's not even a possibility, but it is that all the members, when one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And that's the reason for this message this morning. As I looked at that part of that verse, and I said, wow, how God has drawn together a body that is able to support each other in a time of suffering. You know, the world doesn't all experience that. There are many, many people in the world today who have no one to turn to, have no one to share their care with, have no one to share their struggle with. But God has blessed us with this opportunity. And I don't know what it is that you're suffering with this morning. But I know that the scripture is true. In 2 Timothy 3:12, it says this, all who desire to love godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. That's again, that is not an option. All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And Jesus said in John 16, in this world, you will have trouble. In this world, you will have trouble. My heart goes out to you this morning. Whatever your struggle is, whatever your suffering is this morning, my heart goes out to you. Because I know that it can be dark and difficult at times. Maybe it's a physical suffering that you're experiencing this morning. I know we live in a sin-cursed, fallen world. And there are medical, there are physical things that we suffer time and time again, that our bodies are just not compatible to this world. God created us for another world. He created us for the Garden of Eden. And I believe someday that'll be restored some way or another, somehow. But maybe it's diabetes. Maybe it's a food allergy. Maybe it's a blood disorder. Maybe it's RA, cancer. Maybe there's something I've been missing that I'm missing there. Maybe you're here this morning and you're grieving, you're suffering the loss of a loved one, the death of a spouse, a child, a sibling, parents, or a friend. You suffer loneliness. And you just want somebody to be able to talk to. Maybe you're here this morning and there's a strained relationship and you're suffering through a strained, difficult relationship. And it would just be so nice to have someone put their arm around your shoulder. You try and you try, but it seems like every time you try, it just gets worse. And you suffer in that relationship for a long time. Maybe you're here this morning and you're experiencing some kind of chronic pain. When I say a chronic pain is a pain or a suffering that just don't go away. That there is no change. And it goes on and on that you suffer. You know, when someone breaks a leg or breaks an arm or they get a cold, you know, we expect them to get better. And we can get alongside of someone who broke their leg or they broke an arm or whatever it might be. We can come alongside of people like that because we have the hope that they're going to get better. But that person that suffers with chronic suffering, we get kind of tired. It's like we feel kind of hopeless. Like how to minister to, how to interact with the suffering of that person that the doctors don't give them a reason. They don't give them a hope. And after a while, we feel hopeless. Like, I don't have anything to say anymore. Maybe you're here this morning and you took a stand for Christ. You believed it was the right thing to do. You believed it was the biblical thing, the spiritual thing to do, to take a stand, to not get involved in alcohol or drugs or with friends that were doing these kinds of things. And you took a stand for Christ, and today you are suffering because of it. Maybe you took a stand at work and you didn't get a promotion because you took a stand for what you believed was right. Maybe you're that person this morning. And it just seems like all hell is unleashed against you when you thought you were doing what was right. Maybe you're here this morning, you have a spouse or a child that is not walking with God. That's suffering. That's suffering. You prayed until you're weary. You prayed until you're weary, and just like, it doesn't change. My heart goes out to you this morning. for that suffering. Maybe you're here this morning and you're suffering an incredible stress and you're not sure how to get a handle on it. Stress is one of those things that they say is like secondhand smoke. It'll do things to you that you don't recognize. Maybe there's stress that is, you can say it all you want that it won't affect me, but it does. It does. Maybe you're feeling like the three Hebrew children as they stood before the King Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar told them to bow down, and they said, "We will not bow down before you. We will not worship you." Maybe you're here this morning and you're at that place where you feel a little bit like the Hebrew children, where the king, then when they said they wouldn't worship him, you know what he did? He got angry. And he said, "Let's heat this furnace 7 times hotter than it was." And maybe this morning in your suffering, you feel like God has turned the heat up, like the fire is intense. Like the suffering just got worse. The Bible says here in James, it says in verse 13, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray." So you have taken that seriously. You've taken the scripture, you've taken the word of God, and you have prayed. And all of a sudden, the fire got hotter. And I wonder why God allowed that to happen. Why did the fire have to be 7 times hotter than what it already was? Seems to me fire is fire. You're going to burn one way or the other. But the king in his anger, he allowed it to get 7 times. He demanded that it be 7 times hotter. And I wonder if God allowed that so that there was no question in anybody's mind that when they looked into that fire and there were 4 men walking around, that it was God. Maybe this morning you're in that fire and you can only see the fire. And the people around you, I'm asking this morning, when the people who are around you, when they see you in your suffering, when you are in the fire, do they see the fourth person? Or is it just you? When we grumble and complain and we resist and we stand against what God may have allowed to come into our lives to burn off whatever it is that needs to be burned off, if we go into that fire believing that God is exactly who the three Hebrew children said, he is able to deliver us, and if he doesn't, he is still God. When you can do that, when you can enter and embrace your suffering with patience, that's what it does. People are able to look at you and they see the fourth person. They see that fourth person. And it's Jesus. You're not in your suffering alone. You are not in it alone. You are there, and Jesus has promised that he will be there with you. God has promised that he will not give you more than that you can bear. And this morning, maybe you're here this morning, and you're feeling like, I'm at the point that I can't take anymore. No, you're not. That's a lie from the pits of hell. And God calls us to be patient. And then the people will see the fourth person in your suffering. And I'm here to tell you this morning that one of the most cruelest, insensitive things you can say to a person that is suffering is just get over it. Have you been there? Maybe you're the one that spoke those words. Maybe you're the one that received those words. Just get over it. No. God called you to put your arm around that person because they are part of the body and they suffer and you suffer with them. In 2 Timothy 4:13, Paul asked Timothy to bring his cloak. Remember the story where Paul was sitting in prison and he sent a letter to Timothy and asked him to bring his cloak. And I wonder if it was as much that Paul wanted his cloak as it was that he wanted someone to share his suffering with. Do you think it's possible? Do you think it's possible that you hear a little pleading in Paul's voice? Bring my cloak when you come. Share in my suffering. So what is the purpose of our suffering? One of the things that happens, and I'm just going to point out verse 9 quickly here, is that verse 9 says, "Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door." And one of the things that I find that when we get into a time of suffering, it's easy to become focused on myself. It's easy to become focused on me, and I start to lash out. Do you ever, to everything around you and people around you, and unfortunately, that often happens to the ones that are closest to us, the ones that are able to love us the most, are the ones we grumble against. So in our time, don't risk God's judgment by turning on each other in a time of suffering. Remember, if one suffers, we all suffer. If one suffers, we all suffer. What is the purpose of suffering? One of the things that I think needs to be challenged as we look at this whole subject of suffering is this false view that God guarantees that everything is going to be health and wealth when you become a Christian. That is a false teaching. That is not true. But there are many, many people who are teaching that if you become a follower of Christ, then everything will be great and hunky-dory. Wealth, health, and prosperity. There are those that are teaching that kind of message. And I think it's important that we understand this. Number one, we're supposed to uphold the truth. The belief that our inheritance in this life, if we believe that our inheritance is in this life, then we miss the mark. And it's impossible to understand the higher purposes that God, without first connecting with the misunderstandings that are taught about this, if we don't get that. If we accept this teaching that suffering only happens if we accept this teaching that health, wealth, and prosperity comes when we become a follower of Christ, then suffering can only mean one thing, that something's wrong, right? And that's what happens, is that there's this teaching or this feeling or this understanding that we embrace that there's a failure in our spiritual lives if we're experiencing suffering. Or if we get frustrated with God for failing to meet our expectations of health and wealth and prosperity. If this were true, each time we suffer, we'd have to ask the question, why? What have I done? And we know this morning that there are so many things in life that we experience in suffering that we know have not come from what we did or did not do. What Christian could thrive under that kind of law or demand? So every time you get a cold, every time you have a flat tire, every time you experience something, some kind of suffering, you'd have to say, what did I do wrong? Why am I experiencing suffering? And I do not believe this morning the faith of many Christians has been overthrown by this, and sometimes it makes me really angry. When I hear people who have been indoctrinated with this idea that there would be no sickness or anything that would happen to them if they were a follower of Christ. And then they're disillusioned. And they're discouraged. And they're hopeless. When it does, If this were true, then all the apostles would have been living some kind of ungodly, unholy life, if that concept were true. Listen to 1 Corinthians 4:9-13. For I think that God has displayed us, the apostles, last, as men condemned to death. For we have been made a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished, but we are dishonored. The present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and we are poorly clothed and beaten and homeless. And we labor, working with our hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we endure, being defamed, we entreat. We have been made as the filth of the world, the offscouring of all things until now. If these men did not understand the true concept of suffering, then they would have given up. I believe that. If they had not understood what the true purpose of suffering, they would have given up. And maybe you're here this morning and you're at that place where you're ready to give up. I plead with you, don't give up. Don't give up. Because at the end of every purpose, at the end of every suffering, I believe the purpose is that God would be glorified. Amen. Not me, not I, not what I have done, not what I will do, but that God will be glorified. That's the purpose in every suffering that we experience in life. Whether it is, if it is suffering that we're enduring because of some kind of sin or something that's in our lives, sometimes I believe God uses that to bring us back to Him. But again, it's for His glory. It's for His honor. How are we ever going to know the mercy and the grace of God if we don't suffer? We really get to experience the mercy and the grace of God when we go through times of suffering. So even Paul stated that if there is no eternal hope, then we should eat and live and drink it up and have a good time. And you see in these, with the apostles, they were not, instead of being men of sorrow, they were victorious, and they lived a life joyfully and counted it a privilege to suffer for Christ. And so I believe that it's an injustice that the church has done is to not, in avoiding the subject of suffering and not preparing people to understand that in this life there will be suffering. It's an injustice that the church has done in not equipping people to expect suffering in this life. Jesus made it clear in John 16:33, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. I'd love to sit here this morning and tell you everything's going to be great. Everything's going to be great because you're a Christian. Everything's going to be great. I can't do that. I would not be being honest with you if I were to tell you that. But there is one thing I can tell you with assurance. Is God will never leave you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He will be there every time you step into the fire, every time you go through the water. He will be there. He will be there. The prophets and the apostles, the 12 apostles were men. They gave up everything for the sake of Christ, for the sake of the cross. They lost their property. They lost their freedom. They lost their health. They were beaten. And ultimately, they lost their lives. The prophets were no different. They were in prison. They were beaten, murdered, and proclaimed the word of God as they proclaimed the word of God. I thought about Jeremiah and how he was called to preach for 40 years. 40 years, a message of doom. He was called the weeping prophet because he wept a lot, trying to call the people to understand that there was a judgment day coming. And he was beaten and he was treated just miserably. But he kept on for 40 years. I don't know where you're at in your time of suffering, but I know that God is able to take you to the finish line. He's able to take you all the way. You may not see the end of your suffering in this life. Neither did Jesus when he went to the cross. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the Father. We too, for the joy that is set before us, can look forward. In James 5 and 10, here it says, in James 5, 10 and 11, my brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord was very compassionate and merciful. We have the opportunity of looking back at the life of Job and how that everything was stripped from him in order for him to receive the blessing. Is it possible this morning that God simply wants to show himself to you like you have never experienced him before? Did Jesus, let me just read the scripture there in 12, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the Father. Did Jesus enjoy the cross? Absolutely not. Did the apostles find joy in their suffering? Absolutely not. Did the prophets find joy in the shame they were forced to endure? No, they did not. The joy each of these found was beyond their circumstance. And I challenge you this morning to find the joy beyond your circumstance. They looked ahead to the promise. And we have the account of in Hebrews 11 of the Hall of Faith, where many of them never saw. They never saw the end. They never saw what God had prepared to happen through them. And one of the things that we have to remember is that not all blessings are wrapped in beautiful packages. Sometimes our suffering is a blessing. And may I go as far as to say, pretty much all of our suffering is a blessing. Because we get to know God. We get to know ourselves. And therefore, the suffering that we experience can be a blessing. And many of you have heard the song by Laura Story titled Blessings. Suppose my trials were a blessing in disguise. And I'm going to play that song at the end of the message here for our closing song. 1 Peter 3:14 says, but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. 1 Peter 4:12 through 16, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. For the Spirit of God, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. Let me read that again. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. Have you ever thought about it that way? Have you ever felt like you were blessed when you were being persecuted for the name of Christ, having taken a stand for Christ? Have you ever thought about it as being blessed? For the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he was blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or a busybody in other people's matters, Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. Jumping down to verse 19. Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. The scripture teaches us that when we become partakers of his suffering, his spirit and glory rest upon us. When I'm in pain, I'm honored by becoming the bearer of God's glory instead of seeking a way out. I should endure and place my trust in him even more. 2 Corinthians 1:3-5, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort of which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Another purpose, another reason that we suffer is that we can go to someone and we can put your arm around their shoulder and say, I know what you're going through. It's beautiful. Have you ever had somebody do that to you? Have you ever had somebody come and just put their arm around your shoulder and say, I know what you're going through? And it means so much more when it's coming from someone who truly does know what you're going through. So if you've been through some suffering today, and one of the members of the body is suffering, we all suffer together. Put your arm around someone today and say, I know what you're going through. I know what you're going through. Do you know what that does? Do you know what that does for someone that is suffering? Do you know what it does for them? It's like a shot in the arm. It's like, yes, I can do this. Yes, I can do this. Pain only is a tragedy when we're looking at it from our temporary circumstance. When we're looking at it from our temporary circumstance. When I'm trusting Christ, then he shapes me and my trouble becomes a trophy in God. And we are called to endure. And I have more scriptures, and I am running out of time. We need in Romans 8:16-18, it says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and of children then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him. So you hear how often suffering is mentioned in these scriptures? It is throughout the whole New Testament. For I consider the sufferings of this present time not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. There is grace in our weakness. 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. When you are feeling weak, looking back at James 5, and I see in verse 13, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone among you cheerful? Let him sing songs. And then verse 14, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. And again, the scripture is calling for community, the church community, to come together when there is sickness and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And it's not the oil, that's the healing. Look at verse 15. It says, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. The Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And that the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man, it avails much. 2 weeks ago, I talked about the Holy Spirit in prayer and how the Spirit is involved in prayer. Last Sunday, Eric talked to us about prayer and the model of prayer, what that looks like. And I would today that I could call us to be praying people as it relates to suffering. Because first we are called to pray personally. Then we're called to pray for each other in suffering. So that we could be a praying people as it relates to suffering. I'm not by any means wanting to diminish the pain that you're going through this morning, because I know it's real. Whatever the suffering is, I know it's real for you. Second Timothy 1:12 says, "For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him unto that day." Don't bypass God's plan for you. Don't seek a way to bypass God's plan for you. That's done in giving up and not standing for Christ. Maybe it's becoming hopeless. And I want to be careful, because I know how hopeless chronic suffering can be. But be hopeful. Be hopeful, because in the end, Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured it. And so can you. So can you. In Revelations 21:4, it states that God will wipe away every tear. Allow the Spirit of God this morning to wipe away your tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! In the end, that's what we have to look forward to. I'm 62, soon to be 63, but I have discovered this life is short. This life is short. When I look back and I look at where I was when I was waiting to get my license at 16 years old, oh, that was a long time, from 15 to 16. And now 10 years would fit in there real easy in that time. This life is but a vapor. We can do it. But in the long, lonely, dark nights, when you know someone is suffering with you, it will make it much easier. Let's stand together for a closing prayer. And following the prayer, I have, they will be playing the song from Laura's story, Blessings. And I just want you this morning just to allow God to speak to you wherever you're at, whatever your suffering is, whatever you're experiencing. Let God speak into it. Maybe there's a scripture verse today that spoke to you. Just allow God to minister to your heart in just quiet time as you listen. Father, we are grateful this morning to come to you and call you Father. Lord, we're grateful that we can come to the throne room boldly this morning. Lord, we do not in any way claim to understand the subject completely of suffering. Father, I pray that for those here this morning that are experiencing suffering or have or will, Lord, I pray that you would be near to them. Father, I pray that your holy anointing of oil would be upon their foreheads. Lord, that they would be able to experience you today in a new and a precious way. Father, I pray that this suffering would not be for a lost cause, but that you would receive the honor and the glory, because we believe, according to Scripture, that is exactly why you allow these things to happen. Father, we thank you that we are not hopeless, that we do not live as those that have no hope, but today we are able to enter into suffering, knowing that you have walked the path before us, knowing that your Spirit is here to carry us through whatever it is that you have given us or allowed us to experience in this life. And God, I pray right now that there would be a peace on this congregation, that there would be a reception, a receiving of your Spirit to minister to whatever is broken, to minister to whatever suffering is being experienced. And we give this place, this time, this people to you. Lord, as we go out from this place today, I pray that the people who surround us, Lord, that know about the struggles or the challenges of life that we're experiencing, that when they look into our fiery furnace, they will be able to see you, Lord. That's my prayer for all of us this week. May we be victorious as we honor you, as we walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you could play that song. When it's over, you are dismissed.
We pray for blessings. We pray for peace. Comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. And all the while, you hear each spoken need, yet love is way too much to give us lesser things. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if of this life are your mercies in disguise? We pray for wisdom, your voice to hear, and we cry in anger when we cannot feel you near. We doubt your goodness, we doubt your love, as if every promise from your word is not enough. And all the while, you hear each desperate plea, and long that we'd have faith to believe. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? And what if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? And what if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? Nights, all your mercies in disguise.